Okay. Safeco Field Energy Efficiency. Scott Jenkins.
So while Scott's getting ready here,
great.
Mr. Bradbury and members of the council, I'm going to introduce him. So Scott Jenkins is the vice president for ballpark operations at Safeco Field. Safeco Field is the home of the Mariners. And I know there's a lot of council staffers going to Mariners games while we're here in Seattle. So we figured we would have Scott come and tell us about some of the energy efficiency work he and his colleagues have been doing over there at Safeco. Take it away.
Great. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Great group of people here, and very interesting to learn about the fish and what's going on from the governor. Anybody been at the game the other night? I think we had a couple people. It's perfect weather to come out for a ball game. I promise I won't take any more past 7 o'clock, so you can all get over there yet tonight. No, I'll be pretty brief, but as I go, I'll slide through here quick, and then you guys can answer questions if you want. Since you guys are about conservation, I wanted to tell the story about what we've been doing at the ballpark. And one of the things we like to say is it's a better way to play. And it's a better way to play for sports. It's a better way to play for business. It's a better way to play for our fans at home. So sports is a nice vehicle to communicate that and a great backdrop to tell that story. But what we did isn't rocket science by any means. It's really quite simple. Occupant behavior in the building ended up playing a huge part in energy conservation. In the first year of our effort, I was challenging my staff to save $100,000 in a year. And just by modifying the way we run the building, be a little smarter, do at work what you do at home when you're paying the bill. And part of that was just informing them of what is it that we pay for utilities. You know, can you imagine going to your mailbox each day and getting a bill for $4,700? Our staff had no idea that that's the money that we pay for utilities. So we started just getting their awareness and getting their ideas. And in the first 6 months, we saved that $100,000 I wanted to save in a year. And at the end of the first year, it was $275,000. And we really only invested about $30,000 in minor things like weather stripping was really the biggest investment we did. So we used a lot of existing automation for lighting and HVAC. Later on, we did a recommissioning of the building and invested some money. We worked with McKinstry closely to do that. We found some things along the way to improve. We did some lighting retrofits. We've since added a little bit of on-site renewable energy and solar panels. And the real exciting thing about sports is really the ability to expand the conversation and make it a part of the way we conduct business in our daily life, so the fan engagement. One of our big initiatives is around waste. You know, we generate over 1,000 tons of waste a year. And so it's really liberating to think about zero waste. Let's not waste. Let's not just think incrementally about how do we get a little bit better. Let's just eliminate the waste. So let's take the limit off of things, if you will. And we've done that with our recycling program, and we have Felix Hernandez here who helps brand it for us, Strike Out the Landfill. And we've really changed the way we do waste, but it also has influenced the way we run our building and the utilities that we use. And on the waste side, in 2005, we diverted just 12% of our waste. We recycled plastic, aluminum, paper. We weren't very good at it. We started focusing on it in between 06 and 09. We implemented a composting program for our back of house concessions and kitchens and drove the diversion rate up to 38%. But along the way, we realized that the bulk of our waste was really what we gave to our guests, and it was the service items that we give them with the food and beverage operation. And so we converted to all compostable serviceware. And when we did that, we shot up to 70%. And lo and behold, this year we're hovering right around 90% for the year, which is quite a shift considering we're at just a 12% diversion rate in 05. And along the way, it makes good business sense. We saved last year $125,000 through diverting waste rather than sending it to the landfill. And we instead of putting the 1,000 tons of waste in the landfill, we used it for something better. And then energy is really the same kind of thing. We started benchmarking. You've got to measure if you want to manage. We used Portfolio Manager, the EPA Energy Star system. You know, we came weighed in at about 147,000 BTUs per square foot. Interestingly enough, among six other ballparks in baseball, we had the lowest energy intensity, and it was nice to see through our efforts we could drive that down all the way to 110 in 2011. And you can certainly make the business case when you talk about energy when you do the math. You know, to us, in 6 years, we've avoided $1.8 million of expense. And if you took a 25% reduction across all the Major League Baseball parks, all of a sudden you're talking about $16.5 million a year. So when I talk to my counterparts about why we should do this, it really makes good business sense to do it. And you guys know well the complexities of what we're dealing with climate change and reliable energy, but conservation is a huge opportunity we have out there, and it's certainly something that the business community would like to capture. So some of the examples are our parking garage. You know, we can see where the data tells us historically we've been. Well, we were having some maintenance problems with our lighting. It was about that time. What do we do? Well, let's go to occupancy sensors. Let's switch to a dual level light fixture. And lo and behold, we're using half the energy we used to use in the garage with a payback of something around 3 to 4 years for that investment. So good business decisions.
Yeah.
In the suites, we had a bunch of incandescent lights. The ballpark opened in 1999. Getting rid of incandescent and going right to LED is a huge savings. We took 800 watts of incandescent light and replaced it with 80 watts of LED. So we don't have to go through the suites every game and look for burned out lights with incandescents that only last 2,000 hours. We've got LEDs that last 40,000 hours. So we're using a fraction of the energy, we're saving labor, we're reducing our cooling load on a day like today. We don't have 800 watts of heat coming from the ceiling, it's 80 watts, and that actually reduces our water consumption on our cooling tower. So there's lots of benefits. And then being a leader and trying to show that there is a better way and what the future looks like, we now have a small PV installation on our parking garage, Skybridge. It supplies about 17% of the power for our garage on an annual basis. Not huge, but it's something to start with. But it's a nice place to tell a story because we've reduced consumption by half. We supply 17 by renewable. And on a nice sunny day like today, when there's not much going on in the garage, we can power up EVs directly from the PV panels that feed the garage. And when we put the four charging stations in the winter, I think I might have been the only guy charging there on occasion. Nobody else was. But now that we've had them there and we're in the baseball season, they're generally full. And as I look around town, we're seeing a lot more EV around the ballpark and around town. And again, fan engagement, I think that's the biggest plus that we offer as sports. We've been lucky to get involved with a lot of people like the EPA. We had Lisa Jackson come and visit us here and spend some time with us when she was the head of the EPA. We've been to the White House last year. I think people see the opportunity that sports brings to elevate the conversation about the opportunities that are out there around conservation. And it's nice to see people like Ford Motor now who's advertising efficient fleets of cars. And I think that's a big change. You know, before, if you go back 5, 6 years ago, they'd be talking about bigger, faster, stronger, more powerful, and now they're talking about how efficient their fleet is. So I think there's a mind shift out there. And when you look at that scoreboard, we replaced an incandescent board with LED, saves 1 million kilowatt hours a year and about $50,000 in our operating costs. So again, the technical solutions are out there that make good business cases. And then today, to fast forward, now you can get real data in real time. So on my phone here, this is just a picture of a home stand we had recently, but I can push a few buttons and see exactly what we're consuming at Safeco Field right on my phone with electricity, natural gas, and water. And what we're looking at here is a week's view of electricity on the top and water on the bottom. And having that data in your hand really is powerful to know how you're operating the building and what really influences consumption. There's a false perception among my counterparts that one of the reasons we were saving energy is our attendance was dropping. And I said, well, first of all, we only play 81 days of the year, so it wouldn't explain the rest of the year. But when you look at opening day, which is capacity crowd, the biggest load up to the game, the most cleaning and post-event cleanup you could possibly have, and you looked at the very next day where we had 9,000 people in the ballpark, and the day after that we had 9,000 people in the ballpark, you couldn't tell the difference on electrical use between opening day and a crowd of 9,000. So it's really not so much attendance driven. I've got to turn everything on when I have a baseball game. So we're learning things about that. And about where the cursor is, you see one funny looking shape there. That happened to be a 6 hour game, 16 innings, unfortunately, that we lost. But it's a weird shape because A, the peak is low, but then you see it jump up. And that was a day game without lights that went really long where the shade came in, and all of a sudden we had to turn the lights on. So when you start to see this and you have the data, you start to realize when you operate the building what has impacts on your consumption. So it's been a valuable tool. And we're rolling that out across MLB now. And then some of the common sense solutions, this gets back to our recycling. You know, we used to call the room where all the trash went the trash room. And it bothered me because we were focused on trash. And it's really about resource recovery. So we've changed it to recycling center now. And there used to be a metal door here that led out to where the containers were. And of course, it's a clunky, slow metal door. So guess what? It's open all the time, right? So you have this wonderful wasp of air from the compactors coming into the building, past the clubhouse, past the Diamond Club. It smelled like you're in a landfill. And you're wasting energy when you're doing that. And so we put in a high-speed vinyl door, which made it easy for our staff to go in and out. It automatically shuts. It seals the infiltration. It keeps the smell out. And lo and behold, 2 years later, that door's operated over 200,000 times. And the NFL was here last year when we had our Green Sports Alliance Summit. And that's now part of their best practices in all their arenas, is that at entries that are high use, they use high-speed vinyl doors. So it's not rocket science, but think about what we're doing and think about the opportunities that are out there, and it's saving us money. So what's next? What's on deck? For us, an exciting opportunity. There's a long ways to go on this, but there's been a fair amount of talk, especially with a potential arena just south of Safeco Field, with recovering waste sewer heat. There's a big, about 10-foot diameter sewer main that goes right underneath Safeco Field down Occidental, and it's got all the heating and cooling capacity that we could ever need. All we have to do is tap into it and use pump power to either take heat out of it or dump heat into it. And so there is a possibility down the road that CenturyLink Field, Safeco Field, and a new arena would be extremely low carbon heating and cooling their buildings and just using waste sewer heat and sewer cooling to do that. And the photo here is actually of the facility in Vancouver, the Falls Creek Energy Center, that was part of the Olympic development. So it's not terribly risky anymore. You just have to have the foresight and invest in it, and it would pay back pretty handsomely. So maybe in a few years we'll be able to talk about that. And that, just to wrap it up, the Green Sports Alliance is something we hatched here in the Pacific Northwest. I think we're pretty innovative and environmentally minded. It was formed by six teams from Vancouver down to Portland. We launched just about 2.5 years ago with the six teams, and today we have about 170 teams and venues that are members. So we've had tremendous growth and starting to share best practices and making the business case for a better way to play. So that's it, and I'd be happy to answer some questions.
Thank you very much. Questions?
How do you get good tickets for tonight?
Yeah.
Come on down.
What do you do to keep your beer cold?
Well, we use a lot of electricity there. Yeah. And, you know, that leads to an interesting thing. When you start tracking your energy use, the quicker we shut down at the end of the year, and what we found is the energy savings is not so much focused on when we're in event mode, because we can't do much about it, but when we're not in event mode. So getting things set back as quickly as possible. And when the season is done, we go around and unplug all the refrigeration that we don't need. And 3 years ago, when we made a real strong effort to do that, by being quick about the postseason shutdown, we saved $30,000 by being deliberate and quick about it compared to the year before. So, you know, it wasn't doing anything different other than being deliberate and speedy about it. So shutting that stuff off helps. And there's a product that's interesting. It's a thermostat that we're putting into some of our coolers. And what you measure in the cooler is really the air temperature. So the minute you open the door, the cold air drops out, the hot air goes in, and guess what? It tells the compressor to kick in, right? But what are you trying to cool in the cooler? Not the air, but the product. So this product called E-Cube has a thermostat that's wrapped around mass that simulates beverages. And so you can cut your compressor on and off in half, and you can cut your electrical use by 30%. Just by changing your thermostat in your refrigerator. So again, not rocket science, but common sense and rethinking about the way we do business, and there's better ways out there at a modest cost. And then you're not replacing your refrigeration equipment as often because you don't have as many on and offs of your compressor. So there's good opportunities out there.
And to keep your beer cold.
And to keep our beer cold, yes.
I was interested in the LED investment. That seems like a major investment. And I haven't really heard of anyone changing out, seems like, a lot of light bulbs with LEDs. Was that difficult to find a supplier and get a good price for it?
You know, a few years ago, I would say yes, it was hard because there were less options. Nowadays, there are people all over that have solutions for LEDs. And it's obviously a lot cheaper if you can use the existing fixture.
Yeah.
So in some cases, it's an easy retrofit. In other cases, it doesn't work so well. But where we found that it made sense, like in our suites, it was just a swap, take the incandescent out, put the LED in. And, you know, once you get over the sticker shock that bulb costs you $30, but, you know, you think about it over the next 10 years, that bulb's going to save you $100 or whatever it is.
Right.
So it's not that bad. And we're about to do a complete relamping fixtures in all of our clubhouse, our home clubhouse. And that is more about human behavior and a positive environment for our players than it is about energy conservation, because we'll be able to, it's almost like putting a skylight in now. And with the technology for LED, you can change the color of the light to whatever you want it to be. So, you know, when you get in the clubhouse before a game, you want it to simulate daylight and get the players up. And when they get done playing and they have a really hectic schedule, you want them to come back down so they can get some sleep, right? So you'll change the light color before the game and after the game.
Really?
And we'll use a fraction of the energy and have almost no maintenance in the years to come. So keep your eyes on that. We'll be the first baseball team to do that. And we're going to swap everything out at the All-Star break.
So is that technology available to hit?
It is, yeah. And that's the interesting thing. I mean, it's all out there. And there's people ready to sell it to you and to help you with it. But you know, I think once we do it, I wouldn't be surprised if most baseball teams want to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, baseball is such a grind when you play 162 games a year, 81 a year at your home facility. So you want to get the best environment you can get for it. And, and these guys aren't cheap, so we want to perform well.
Good. So great.
Mr. Chair.
Both.
Mayor Rockefeller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It sounds like you're having fun.
Oh, we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Come on out tonight. You can join us.
I wonder if we have room on the regional technical forum for a representative from Seattle Mariners to join.
You know, we can hold this meeting next year there too. So
that's a good. You're on. You're in. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's really very inspirational. The kind of presentation you gave and the work you put in on this is wonderful.